Hello, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Raheem Kassam, we ask the question to debate or not debate. To debate or not debate. That is the question. And I want to hear from you. Do you think Donald Trump should debate in the debates? Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and hit subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. As always, you can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Raheem Kassam is with us, and he has some new polling to report on, which is around some of the theme of last hour, which is, what are we doing here in this primary? The billion-dollar blockade, the billion-dollar barricade that is looming, that is building, I think it's going to injure our chances to win in the general election. Donald Trump's going to get through it. He's going to pierce it. He's going to destroy it. He's a ferocious lion that you do not want to run up against. Question is that the best use of our energy, our time, and our resources? Raheem, welcome back to the program. But you have some new polling to report about Governor Ron DeSantis. Tell us about it, Raheem.
Yeah, that's right, Charlie. Thank you for having me. And I totally agree with you, by the way, and agree with the premise of the conversation, which we really do need to be having at this point in time. And the reason I think that it needs to be had is, look, at the end of last year, the tail end of last year, after the midterm elections, a lot of people said, OK, well, look, you know, a primary might be healthy for the Republican Party. A lot of animosity against the idea of, you know, a quote unquote, a coronation, which I understand for some reason has negative connotations in this country. But
yes, that's correct.
I think we've seen enough. I think we've seen who the backers are against Trump here, the donor class, the GOP establishment class. I think we've seen what the candidates who were supposed to be able to run away with this the second they got into this race have actually done with that airtime and that power. And the answer is not an awful lot. And I think what a lot of people now are saying is, look, we understand that there's $200 million set aside to try and tear down Donald Trump before he even gets to the general election.
Minimum.
Against
I think it's going to be more than
Democrat.
That. Yeah, keep going. But I think it's going to be more than that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's more than that. But I think most people kind of realize now that, hey, you got Mike Pence jumping in. You got Tim Scott jumping in. You got Chris Christie cannonballing in. And I think people are just like, yeah, we're done with this. So let's bear that out in the data, right? Rasmussen Reports did an interesting study in February, and I pay very close attention to these things so that when I saw they had a new one coming out this month, I immediately understood, okay, let's compare and contrast the two different polls. Same methodology, same question, same candidates. It's Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. And in February, Ron DeSantis had 32%. Polling amongst likely Republican voters in this poll. Today, he stands at 30%, which means that after the injection of cash, getting up on the stage, touring around Iowa, Twitter spaces glitched out or not, and so on and so forth, all of the fanfare, he's actually sunk in the polls. Contrast that with Donald Trump, who actually 3 months ago in the same poll was polling at 45%. Is now up to 58%. That is a massive leap in a very short period of time. I think people are ready to declare this one over.
But it's over with the voters, but it's not over with the donors, right, Raheem? So let's play this out. Let's game this out. Because my hypothesis, which could be incorrect, but I've been chatting with a good amount of people, and some of them still take my calls, is you got Nikki Haley, you got Tim Scott, you got Asa Hutchinson, you got Chris Christie, you got Mike Pence, Doug Burgum, and more. It seems that they might be running against one another, but I actually think they're disparate parts of the same sort of long-ditch, Hail Mary attempt effort, which is maybe we can throw as much as we can at Trump, see which one of the kind of same bland vanilla flavors might begin to resonate. And then just relentlessly pummel Donald Trump with money in the primary. I think that some people underestimate the personal side of this. And I'll prove it to you, Raheem. Chris Sununu from New Hampshire, who has an unusually high octave voice for a man. It's very bizarre. He says, I'm not running for president in 2024. Beating Trump is more important. This is a perfect example of what I'm trying to tell people, which is there's people emailing us, Raheem, I'm going to scream. I can't stand it. Why don't we just, you know, get behind Trump and you might not like him. No. He says in the Washington Post, Republican governor, beating Trump is more important. Play cut 25 of the very high octave governor of New Hampshire.
I've taken the last 6 months to really kind of look at things where everything is, and I've made the decision not to run for president on the Republican ticket in 2024. And obviously, a lot goes into that decision, but it's been quite an adventure, but not the end of the adventure by any means.
Raheem.
Genteel. You know, very genteel voice there. Not exactly somebody that is used to projecting power and dominance, I think. And that analogy works with the entire rest of the field as well. I think what they really want to do is all be able to stand up on a stage with Donald Trump and create kind of like a pylon, right? That's which is why I think on balance, it doesn't make any sense for Trump to be on a debate stage with all of these 2%ers and 3%ers, because it elevates their attacks to a position that he doesn't need to justify when he's polling at circa 60% amongst likely Republican voters. Yes, it's a redux of 2016, and it's not even particularly a very good redux of 2016. It's like we've seen this movie before, but now they've cast like some other characters, and it's kind of like one of these woke Hollywood reboots. Everybody's seen it. Nobody wants to watch it take place again. And listen, again, I understand that there is a world in which a lot of people are sort of thinking, yeah, but do you really just want to hand it over to one guy again? And then you have to remind yourself, yeah, but wait a minute. This guy is term limited out. He has one more chance to swing the bat at the establishment. And then Republican voters can have the pick of the field of whoever they want. By the way, whomever they want that will then, hopefully by then, have developed an apparatus and a style of campaigning that doesn't make them look kind of cringe and embarrassing when they're out on the campaign trail. It's very clear there are people in this race who are simply not ready to be in this race. They might be ready in 4 years, but they certainly show every day that they're not ready to be in this race. So look, it's about rationality when it comes down to it. It's about, do you want the Republican Party to tear itself to bits over this primary season and limp into the general, or would you like your candidate to be strong, backed by the entire party, and have all the resources available to him when he stands up on that stage against Joe Biden? I can't imagine rational thinkers thinking any other way.
So you mentioned something that I'm not yet decided on, and I totally see it both ways, and the audience is split. You guys should email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Does Trump participate in the debates? Part of me, my gut instinct is, no way. You're up 45 points. Go do your own rallies. Don't be part of the circus. The second part of me, though, is, man, he is alpha male. He could destroy these careers. He will make it so he could do one debate and end it all. And when they start talking about his tone, he turns and says, you don't know what it's like to be the leader of the free world. I do. What are we doing here? You guys are all, I mean, he could just have a mic drop moment. And the only way that alpha male Trump could do, Raheem, help me navigate it, because I see it truly both ways.
I would too if the playing field was level in that sense. But we know how these debates work. We know who sets the rules for these debates. Mm-hmm. You know full well that they're going to try and lock Donald Trump into a situation where if he stands on the stage and he talks over a certain amount of time, his mic will be cut off, right? Or if somebody says something about him and he doesn't get to respond and he tries, his mic will be cut off. And I think in that world, when you have this presidential debates commission and all of these rules and the RNC going along with what the establishment wants a debate to look like, I don't think you can do it. I think you could disintermediate that and do something with independent news outlets if the other candidates are willing to do it, and have it much more of a free-for-all, which, by the way, I think most Americans would prefer, a more
right.
Royal Rumble approach to the debates. But I don't think you're going to get that from CNN. I don't think you're going to get that from Fox. I don't think they're going to offer him the platform that you would expect him to have.
I want to hear from our very in tune, smart, well-read audience. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com, because even with the rigged, though, right, even with all the mic cuts and everything, Donald Trump, in contrast, to Chris Christie, just visually, you say, all right, forget it. Like, I mean, this whole thing is just forget it, right? I mean, you have Donald Trump, just who is a powerful presence. And again, television is a visual media. It goes to the eye before the ear. This is what people don't understand about Trump, is that 80 to 90% of the appeal of Trump is the posture, the magnanimity, the alpha male moves, the this guy is going to make decisive decisions. And then, yes, part of it is what he's saying, but it is the ethos of his presence that resonates with people. How did he get that way? Yeah, I mean, 40 to 50 years on television and looking at ratings, you get pretty good at knowing what draws people in and keeps their attention. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Every day, the parallel economy grows bigger and bigger. It's powered by everyday Americans who are sick and tired of all the woke nonsense being jammed into every product they consume. Big mobile companies are no different. For years, they've been dumping millions into left-wing causes, and we had to take it because you need a cell phone and probably thought that there was no alternative, but there is. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They proudly offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. Stop using woke wireless as they fund Pride Month and all this stuff. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Charlie. Ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values and make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Raheem, we are receiving hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails. And what do you think the verdict is? It's 50-50, Raheem. Our grassroots base says, you know what? I want to see Donald Trump tear his enemies apart. I don't want to see, it's not worth Trump's time. So we have to think to ourselves, okay, do you want to see it for sport or do you want what's best for the nation? What is the answer, Raheem?
That is it. That is it. Listen, I would like to see Donald Trump on the television as much as humanly possible, tearing his enemies down too. It's amazing to watch. It's fun to watch. It's exciting to watch. But the future of your country cannot be turned simply into a televised blood sport for the sake of it, right? If there is no political, if there is no strategic imperative behind him standing on a debate stage with people who are 50, 55 points below him in the polls, then there isn't an imperative at all, beyond the reality TV elements of it. And I think, look, I sympathize greatly with the people who are just like, no, yeah, get up there, crush them. It's like, firstly, ostensibly, they're within the same party, right? And you should avoid crushing the people within your own party as much as humanly possible, or on your own side as much as humanly possible. The second part of that is, it's like, Donald Trump is going to be able to command so many stages, podcast networks, independent media, corporate media, all across the board. And I think to reduce him down to just standing on a couple of debate stages or maybe even one debate stage, 1 hour, one night. Answer me this question. How many people watch, you know, a Republican primary debate with Donald Trump on it versus how many people tune in if Donald Trump's not on it? And the idea that you elevate your opponents by giving them the gravity of your presence, I think is campaign malpractice. I wouldn't advise he does it.
Yeah, I mean, he's already proved things too. I mean, we know his legislative agenda. We know how he is and who he is, right? And so who is it going to benefit? Probably benefit the people. So you also have to ask this question. Who wants Donald Trump on the stage the most? That's an interesting question, right? Well, if I'm Mike Pence, I'm begging for that opportunity. I say, why? It will make the views higher, make the shots on goal more likely, those kind of viral moments, right? Mm-hmm. And then the opposite side of the coin is, well, Charlie, you can't play prevent defense. You have to always be on offense. But at the same time, you have to be prudent. And remember, Donald Trump did not participate in a debate right before Iowa. Remember that? He said, I'm done with this whole thing. I'm going to do a veterans rally and you guys can do this. And it will also make that entire debate schedule largely irrelevant if he doesn't do it. It's just going to kind of be a sideshow, especially if Donald Trump does, I don't know, a town hall with Steve Bannon and Raheem and Jack Posobiec and all of us. Imagine that on Real America's Voice. while there's a debate going on, Donald Trump is doing it. It would be interesting to see what would get more numbers. And so we enter in another question I want to ask you here then, Raheem, is what the current coup that is likely being launched against Donald Trump, because Donald Trump's going to win the nomination. I got in this debate with somebody. They said, oh, Charlie, indictments are going to hurt him. I said, you're totally out of touch, right? You don't know what you're talking about. But it's
just like the last indictment hurt him.
Yeah, but it is legitimate. It's legitimate to say that in the general, there might be intel agencies that are going to interfere with him becoming president again. That is totally legitimate. Play cut two, and then about a minute you have to respond. Play cut two.
You said that Trump poses a near existential threat to the rule of law.
Well, think about what 4 years of a retribution presidency might look like. He could order the investigation and prosecution of individuals who he sees as enemies. I'm sure I'm on the enemies list. And so our Constitution really does give a rogue president, which is what this would be, tremendous power to destroy. And so that's why I'm trying to warn people.
He's like, yeah, our Constitution. What he's saying is that we need to change the Constitution is basically what he's saying. Raheem, your thoughts?
He's basically saying, please don't vote for Donald Trump because he might prosecute me for the things that I've done wrong. And I don't think most Americans will find that to be a compelling case. I think the other part of that that's interesting is that he's basically signaling there that they will do anything they can, including all of the dirty tactics we've seen before in order to stop this man becoming the president. And a final note, I think there's some level of people out there, some percentage of people out there that are worried that Trump won't get asked the hard questions, you know, about Fauci and the vaccines and all of this stuff. And I pledge to your audience this, that if I'm in front of Donald Trump and I'm able to interview him during this campaign, we will ask those tough questions. We're just not going to ask them like Caitlin Collins in a catty gotcha moment.
No, that's
right. We actually want real answers.
Fairly and in the context that he was a fantastic president. And there are two or three things that he needs to address. The personnel he chose, Operation Warp Speed, and the promotion of an mRNA shot. Those are the three things that I think people have concerns about. You could also love Donald Trump and say he was the best president of our lifetime and have questions. We're all human, and there's always room for improvement. Raheem, thanks so much. TheNationalPulse.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Look, it is time to consider a rollover of that 401k into an IRA. The investment world is completely different in 2023, and you cannot do the same thing as last year. Woke companies are aggressively implementing ESG. Interest rates are going up and inflation is still lingering. If you have over $150,000, now is the time to move your money to a biblical responsible investing strategy with my friends at Pax Financial Group. Here's how you can connect with Pax. Text Charlie to the number 74868. That's it. Just take out your phone. Text Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, to 74868. So take out your phone. Text Charlie to the number 74868 for biblical responsible investing. Text Charlie to 74868. John Rich joins us now, the great John Rich. John, thank you for making time for us. So John, you responded to my tweet about Jamie Foxx. What's going on with Jamie Foxx? Why is the media not covering this? And we have a little bit of whispers about it, but something unusual is going on. John, what's happening?
Well, I'm not sure anybody knows 100% because exactly what you said, but people are starting to cover the story that potentially that stroke, that some really life-altering things have happened. And, you know, we see a lot of that. I think in the past 18 months or so, I bet you most people watching or listening your show right now know someone personally who has had some type of major physical problem, if not death, since all those vaccines rolled out. Everybody pretty much knows somebody, including me. I have family members problems. There are singers in the country music world that are no longer touring because of issues that they're having. And so, yeah, when you put that out, I thought, you know, I can't 100% verify what's going on with Jamie Foxx. I don't know that anybody can other than him and his family and his doctors. However, it just rings that bell again in all of our consciousness that something terrible has rolled out of our country and a lot of people are suffering because of it.
Yeah. And so public reports, there's a article that we tweeted out that says a source close to Jamie Foxx says that he has gone blind and has serious issues because of the mRNA shot. You responded and you said, well, why doesn't he just sue Pfizer if that's the case? But they actually have immunity, don't they, John?
Yes, they do have immunity and they didn't have to get a shot to get it. How about that? They are actually immune. So no matter what happens to you, If you tie that back to the vaccine, there is not a damn thing you can do about it. I mean, isn't that something in the United States of America? I think it's one of the biggest travesties ever. However, I think you know this, that fraud pierces the veil. Fraud can pierce through any liability protection they ever had. I believe we were lied to. I believe Trump was lied to. I believe he was put into a position to have to believe these people, the NIH, the WHO, the CDC, the FDA, Fauci, and so on and so forth, all people and institutions now that we do not trust for good reason, as they've lied to us over and over and over again. I believe Trump was also put in that position of, okay, do I let these people come with this vaccine, or do I not come with the vaccine? What do I do? What an impossible position that was for him. But now here we all sit dealing with the ramifications of this. And listen, there's people that I've been friends with 20 years, 100 years, that are used to pulling 100 plus concerts a year, that can't sing 3 or 4 songs in a row at this point because they have myocarditis, because their blood pressure is through the roof, because they can't breathe. I mean, 100 different things going on. And that is extrapolated throughout the entire country right now. And I think people are so mad and really furious at this point and aggravated as to, well, who's going to hold these people accountable? What's going to happen? We can't do Pfizer. What can we possibly do? I mean, Charlie, you tell me, what would the crime be called if you unleash something on the general public that may have killed potentially millions of people? Is there a name for a crime like
that? There is a name for it, but you know what? We call it safe and effective is what we call it. 100% safe and effective. You're not allowed to even question it. In fact, to give you an idea of how totalitarian social media has become on this topic. So one of our team members, Daisy, had a great idea because we wanted to post about the Jamie Foxx thing, but we knew we were going to get fact-checked on Instagram, even though it was a third-party article. So we put up the article and we black out the part where it says, Jamie Foxx is blind in this because of, boom, and we black it out, and they still fact-check us. We don't even say the thing, but we have a blackout thing, and people and they say, oh, no, independent fact checkers say that Jamie Foxx is not damaged because of the mRNA shot. But it's not just him. Nancy Mace, can you get the clip, Ryan, of Nancy Mace? Nancy Mace, who's a very moderate congresswoman from South Carolina, she said that she has permanent health damage because of the vaccine. One of the Pussycat Doll members shared her vaccine injury story. I was severely injured by the Moderna vaccine. Also, one of the great musicians and one of the great guitarists, Eric Clapton, same exact thing. So, John, we see the pattern here. We see that there's been something very wrong, and they've come after all of us with great retaliation, censorship, smearing, and slander. And it's really a tragedy because we're now at this place where, you know, some people are calling it crimes against humanity or all these different sorts of things. And what we call it is a mystery. It's a mystery why our government has been actively involved in promoting an mRNA shot that did not do what they said it was going to do and obviously had side effects. John, why are so few people willing to speak out against this?
People don't like being called bad names. People don't like being shoved around. And we got to remember whose shoulders we stand on. You know, if the attitude that a lot of Americans have today had have been the pervasive attitude of the founding fathers, Charlie, we would have never had in the first place to even be fighting. I mean, back in the day when they signed the Declaration of Independence, that was their death warrant with the British Empire. They knew they were going to die if they ever got caught for signing that document, but they signed it anyway. So here we are in 2023, and people are too afraid to say what the truth is because they're going to get kicked off of Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or somebody at work's going to call them a bad name or whatever. I mean, we have to remember who we are and where we came from. Listen, when you mandate something that's experimental, an experimental medication or procedure, you mandate that. There's a little something people can read called the Nuremberg Code. And you go back to the Nuremberg Code and it specifically states you are not allowed to coerce, force, or in any other manner make another human being undergo an experimental medical treatment or situation. Period. End of sentence. Yet we've seen all throughout our country and all around the world the mandates that have come down. I mean, I was just doing some bottle signings down in Florida with my whiskey brand. I was down there signing bottles, and there were people coming through, military people, former cops, they're former because they couldn't keep their jobs. All kinds of people, school teachers, doctors, through my line that lost their jobs because they wouldn't take it. So at some point, this has to break. At some point, people have to be held accountable. And I don't care if they're Republicans and Democrats. I don't care who it is. This is not to be allowed in our country, and it has to be paid for so it never happens again.
The Republicans were some of the biggest pushers of the vaccine. Here's Nancy Mace, who said, look, I took the vaccine. I trusted you. This is a moderate Republican congressman. The media ignored this. The media doesn't want this because they're all purchased by the pharmaceutical companies, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. By the way, several of people that I'm sure in the audience, podcasters and conservative people in media, they're bought by the pharmaceutical companies, Playcut 26.
But I have effects from the vaccine. It wasn't the first shot, but it was the second shot that I now developed asthma that has never gone away since I had the second shot. I have tremors in my left hand, and I have the occasional heart pain that no doctor can explain, and I've had a battery of tests.
Here's a moderate congresswoman, and media just kind of shrugs their shoulders. Yeah, it's perfectly normal, safe, and effective. Here's the original source of the Jamie Foxx situation. Play cut 19, please.
I had somebody in the room who let me know that Jamie had a blood clot in his brain after he got the shot. He did not want the shot, but the movie he was on, he was pressured to get it. What I found out from the man in the room was that the blood clot in the brain caused him at that point to be partially paralyzed and blind. There's a great shroud of secrecy around Jamie Foxx. Even TMZ is not reporting this. And I know TMZ has got sources in hospitals who give them information, whether it's legal or not.
John, your reaction?
I mean, it's we're living in a nightmare. Let's just be honest. We're living in a nightmare. There are so many people that are culpable for this, not just the people that created it, but people that went out and mandated it. And now we have this rolling across our country. Listen, this came into the country music world in a big way, too. There were all kinds. Some of your favorite country singers, I'll just leave it at that, were firing bus drivers, musicians that they'd had for 20 years. I mean, careers that refused to take this vaccine. And guess what? None of those people ever got hired back. You know, when I run into people on the road, I go, well, did you get your job back? They said, hell no, they never hired me back. And that's the travesty here. The question, Charlie, is how does this wind up? How does this wind up? This is not something that gets swept back under the rug. As we say in the country, the horse is out of the barn on this issue, and it is running rampant across the country. Something's going to have to happen at some point to hold these people responsible.
There's a lot of people paid off, and also the American people, the majority of the American people, they want to live in the comfort of ignorance. It's almost as if this is too big of a scandal that most Americans are uncomfortable believing it. It's too widespread. It requires, and we've never received an apology, an acknowledgement, any of it. And meanwhile, we have people that were prescribing ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. They lost their whole lives. I think one of the main reasons why this is not getting out as much as it should is most Americans are almost, I want to live in bliss. This is too much. This would make me too uncomfortable. This would make me get off the couch. I prefer to be comfortable than to know the truth. I really believe that is a motivating factor for most Americans. John, the Target boycott seemed to be working. You've been a leader of kind of trying to inspire consumer backlash against this nonsense. Are you hopeful that finally we're going to be able to get corporations to change their behaviors?
Well, we got a little phrase in the retail world because I own a bar downtown in Nashville and some other things. It's called customers are king. The customer is king. And so what's interesting about these big companies, whether it's Target or Bud Light or whoever, is it's their brand, it's their marketing dollars. They have big teams of people that sit around very big tables. They're all very highly educated, and they come up with ways to market their store, market their product to do what? Sell more product. That's what they're supposed to do. And so they come up with these multi-million dollar ideas and campaigns, and they roll them out, and the customers decide who wins and who loses. I can tell you with the Bud Light thing and my bar, it was the number one selling beer that we had since 2018 when I opened the place up, and we sell a lot of beer down here in Nashville. Well, 5 or 6 days after the Bud Light story broke, I just told my manager, keep track of how much Bud Light are we selling. He calls 5 or 6 days in. He goes, well, you're not going to believe it. We sold a total of 0 Bud Lights what do you want me to do with all this beer? I said, my God, how much beer do we have of Bud Light? He said, 118 cases. I said, that's a lot of beer and nobody's buying it. No, nobody's buying it. So we called the distributor and they came and picked it up and took it. And now you see Target, they make their moves. They want to market their store like they want to. And people are responding in kind. I mean, this is ultimately capitalism at its finest because people decide who's going to stick around and who's not. So, yeah, I like seeing that the general public supports what they want to support and doesn't support what they don't want to. I don't believe in cancel culture. And to me, cancel culture is when a company or a platform, somebody way above your head that controls the situation, just decides to whack you. They just turn it off. They turn you off, turn your business off. They just kill it. It's different, though, when millions of customers all decide to stop spending their money on something. You know, not one person's bank account is going to hurt Bud Light or Target or anybody else, but millions of people that feel that way, that's where the impact is coming from.
There is a new article out in The Economist. Conservative Americans are building a parallel economy. It's obviously written by somebody who's not American, because why would you say conservative Americans? It's kind of a strange way to word it. But it talks about Public Square, which we're big fans of, Patriot Mobile, amongst many other new and exciting options and parallel economy ventures we're seeing happen in a big way. John, I finally start to see alternatives start to rise up. We have Rumble to go up against YouTube, Public Square now to go up against Yelp. We have, Patriot Mobile to go up against Woke Wireless. We finally have a menu of options, and everybody in the audience, you have to prioritize your purchasing power to be in alignment with your values. John, final thoughts.
Well, people want to run for the hills, Charlie. They go, what are we supposed to do? They've got us surrounded. We want to run for the hills. The problem is the enemy owns all the hills too. So there's nowhere to run. So we have to build new hills for people to run to. There's another one that's in the banking sector. We just saw Justin Trudeau to shut down the truckers. He froze all their bank accounts. They're doing the same in South America. And if you don't think there's American people in places of power that want to freeze our bank accounts, think again, because they do. So I'm actually part of an upstart bank called Old Glory Bank, oldglorybank.com. And our whole premise is you will never be canceled or punished for exercising your constitutional rights. What a concept. I mean, it's pretty pathetic that we have to say something like that. And people go, well, I'm going to go there. You would think that's a default position, but no, it's not. And so, yes, I think a parallel economy, other options for people to go to when they find themselves being completely corralled by the current system. It's absolutely necessary.
John Rich, keep up the great work. Excellent commentary as always. And thank you for your courage. And you are a business owner and you're doing a great job. We need more people like you. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
It's our 11-year anniversary at Turning Point. So maybe go to tpusa.com and decide you're going to come to the Young Women's Leadership Summit. Maybe give $11 for our 11-year anniversary, whatever you might want to do. It's tpusa.com. I encourage you to check out the website. We are moving the dial, educating the next generation around American values and ideas, and we are making people's worldview better. We are improving the worldview of a generation that is just lost because of the government schools. I am so thankful for the team at Turning Point USA, and I am motivated to do even more. The next 11 years will be even more successful and even more fruitful, God willing, if we keep on working as hard as we plan to work. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.